Welcome to White Shores, the podcast for spiritual beings having a human experience. Let me invite you to walk once more beside me on White Shores to talk about the real meaning of life and the true power of what is unseen. Let's discuss dreams, intuition, manifesting, as above, so below, angels, afterlife, the science of consciousness, and other infinite possibilities within and all around you. I hope every episode informs, inspires, and illuminates. So, now the scene is set. Allow the grey rain curtain of this world to roll back and all to turn to silver glass. Let's walk barefoot together on the gentle, glistening sands of White Shores to see what mystery lies beyond the material. Thank you for arriving safely on White Shores, a far green country under a swift sunrise. Are you ready to find out about a whole new world of healing? I know you are, and I have the perfect person to talk to you about that. Her name is Benique Mauka. I rehearsed this before, Benique. Can you please just say your name properly for the first time, because I'm going to mess it up.
No problem. My name is Benique Mauka.
Mauka. Oh, that's beautiful, beautiful French. Anyway, Benique is an internationally known Jungian psychotherapist, inspirational teacher and workshop leader. She's the author of many critically acclaimed books and is a frequent speaker at national and international events on psychological healing, spiritual wellness, and how to live an empowered and soulful life. She's also a pioneer in pre- and perinatal psychology. Her groundbreaking book, Songs from the Womb, led to media exposure, seminars and workshops in the USA and Europe. Her books, Reclaiming Father and Love in a Time of Broken Heart, led to further appearances. And aside from her work as a speaker, teacher and author, Benique maintains a private practice. I don't know how she has time around all that, but we'll find out about that in the interview. And her latest title, which is utterly mesmerizing, is called The Soul and the Sea. And it's informed by her own spiritual journey. Her recent work and writing is aimed at helping others learn how to heal from within. Phew, that's a biography. Benique, congratulations. And you're currently living in Ireland, I hear.
Yes, I am living in the west of Ireland on what's called the Wild Atlantic Way, on the west coast of Ireland. And although my lineage is French or Breton, and I did my training in the UK, I migrated home like the birds in 1995. So that's where I am now. And thank you so much, by the way, for such a beautiful introduction. Thank you. I feel
awesome. I'm so sorry I stumbled over your name, but I'm just mesmerized by your, not only your book, but your voice, because there's Irish there, but I can hear the French. I can hear so many languages and visions there. It's beautiful, your voice. Thank you. So please, for people new to you, there will be people listening who know of your work, have read your books. But for those who are new, would you mind just telling us who you are, what you do, and why you write these books?
Yes, I trained in psychoanalytic psychotherapy in London in the UK in the 1980s. I was very involved in childbirth, running groups in preparation for birth. I think I was informed by my own life, having had a very difficult birth I have to tell you the truth, over 70 years ago now. And it informed my life in that the importance of the formative impact of life in the womb and the way we're born took me on a journey to set up a birth center where I trained women, or, you know, not trained is the wrong word, but prepared women and couples for the experience of birth. I was very active in the childbirth community in London then. And then I also was doing training in psychoanalytic psychotherapy. I was about 30 years of age and having my own babies. And then I wrote the first book, which is looking at the formative impact and the spiritual aspect of life in the womb, something which kind of had been neglected by the psychology of the time. And then I moved on, I moved back to Ireland, and then I moved on to write about the importance of the father, and how father is a different energy, formative energy for the child. I trained as a Jungian, then I did more work in Jungian psychology. And then I wrote a third book, which looked at the experience of heartbreak and when our hearts are broken, particularly in intimate relationships, what that actually does to it. I saw it as a spiritual initiation into, let's say, the compassionate heart, into compassion. And all the while I was running my own private practice as a therapist, not just for women giving birth who'd had traumatic births, although that was the start of it, really. So women would come to heal after their experiences of birth. I became kind of the therapist for people who had difficult birth experiences, and also people who remembered, not particularly remembered their births, but who knew that their deep need for healing came from their own difficult births. And then what happened then? Well, all the time I was always on a spiritual path, all the time on a spiritual path. And of course, getting more and more involved in understanding and feeling the spiritual nature, our spiritual, the nature of our being as being transcendent and not just physical, of course. And this brings me to my last book, which I actually wrote during the pandemic, because I noted then very much how being close to nature and living amongst very close to nature with the sea just down the road from me, I can see it while I'm speaking with you, and the animals around me, the healing nature of the healing nature, that nature was a healing force within us and also helping us to reconnect with our own inner healer. So I guess that's a very long way of saying why I wrote the book, write the books. I think because I'm a healer by nature, it's very important to me somehow to help people or guide people to understand that we have an innate healing force within us. And this is all the connection that we have with the divine. And so this book is very much written with that in mind, as a sort of new way of, or a model of healing that incorporates depth psychology, the psychology of Carl Jung, which I am a Jungian, with spirituality. So I hope that's enough. I've been speaking a long time and you haven't interrupted me, so I presume you're still listening.
No, that's because my listeners tell me to stop interrupting, and I'm on a learning journey as a podcaster as well to let people speak, because, you know, I tend to want to jump in and I just want to listen and absorb what you're saying. And you covered so much there in such a succinct way. Thank you for that. But can I dig a bit deeper? Can I go back to your childhood growing up? Where did this desire to be a healer, both in your private practice and with words, as you do from your book, come from, do you think?
I'm not really sure. I think I was born with it. I had a very difficult birth, and my mother had an emergency cesarean section. My family were refugees, in inverted commas, from France post-war. And I grew up in a kind of unusual way. As refugees, if you like, we lived in a tiny cottage without water. I think there was electricity, but, you know, it was very basic. And I was kind of very immersed in nature there. And I I think I inherited from the lineage on my mother's side, the sort of more psychic intuitive aspect. And I don't know. I think it did come from, and also my childhood wasn't that easy in the sense that there was hardship, but also I was at birth separated. I was very premature at birth, you know, literally 3 pounds in weight, 2.5 kilos, and in an incubator for a long time. So I feel that somehow that experience, I feel I came in, my soul chose this incarnation to somehow bring awareness of the spiritual aspect of life, but also something around birth and how important it is to be very aware of how we give birth as much as possible. We do need technology. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't delivered by emergency cesarean. But on the other hand, it is always about marrying the technology with respect for the human soul. So I'm not saying I was badly treated in hospital or anything like that, but I was different, you know. My experience of being born and in a hospital and staying there for 2 months, which small babies had to be big enough, had to be strong enough before they were discharged. And my parents lived in a very remote area, very close to where I am now, but we're kind of like 160 miles from the nearest hospital. So it wasn't an easy task. Now I've gone off a bit because that's what happens to Jungians. I'm gone off on the journey, so you have to bring me back.
No, it's wonderful. I love to hear how you're expressing all this, because what I'm gathering from this is I often find when I interview great spiritual healers and authors is that a lot of it actually starts with them trying to understand themselves.
Yes.
And your own experience. You said that you had, you were premature, C-section, etc. So that traumatic birth experience and trying to understand how it shaped you. And for people listening I actually know very little about the circumstances of my own birth. What do you say to people listening who don't really know that much about it, their own circumstances of their birth? Well, you've written a book.
Yes. Well, generally, you know, I wouldn't say you don't have to remember your birth, but it's just that if you're struggling with, let's say, repeat patterns in your life, negative belief systems, anything else, sometimes, particularly if you go to a therapist or to a counselor or other, or even self-reflection, finding out how you were born and how if your mother is still with you on the planet, how she carried you, you know, can be helpful. It can be helpful just to know. For example, if you have, I worked for some time, I remember this being struck by this with people when I moved to Ireland first, from who'd been born during the Troubles in the north of Ireland. And I remember one person, you know, explaining to me she could never settle anywhere. And of course, we discovered that whilst her mother was carrying her, they kept having to move in the middle of the night to escape the bombs, etc. So that kind of thing, it's really as part of our self-awareness, isn't it? And to understand.
I hear you there, because it's a way of understanding yourself better. And, you know, the more you understand yourself, the more fulfilling life can be, the more rewarding, isn't it? And again, you know, my mum passed when I was in my early 20s. And when you're that age, you don't ask these questions. No. Do you? I think that's changing now. I think younger people are becoming much more curious about their past. But back then, I it just didn't occur to me to even ask these questions. And of course, I wish I had been more curious about that. So would you say also that the mother's mood, you know, during a child's pregnancy, during a baby's, when she's pregnant, will also impact?
Yes,
the child.
Yes, to yes. extent. But for example, we found the studies would always indicate that women who feel loved, and we probably, I don't know whether you have a family, Teresa, but I have three children and four grandchildren now. But,
oh, congratulations.
Yes. How women that feel loved and nurtured, you know, they produce endorphins in their body. We produce, you know, good chemicals which help help the child in the womb. But I want to say something here in case any of your listeners are thinking, oh, my God, I had a terrible birth and this means that I'm a mess. No, absolutely not. Because and the book is, there's only a small bit about the birth as being formative. It really, what it is an awareness of all the different influences that make up who we are, you know. So, like I've turned out as a healer, and perhaps my early life of my birth and other healers will tell you that their experiences of, you know, difficult experiences, even traumatic experiences, have informed them and made them excellent healers.
Mm. Thank you for that. So moving on to your next sort of, it's like your these three books that kind of like are summing up your journey as a way, this powerful book about childbirth and all that. And then moving to the next book, which is about the next, I think, big hit, isn't it, for many of people when their hearts are broken. Was that inspired, if you don't mind me asking, by personal experience as well?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yes. And I mean, that book was published in 2008. So in fact, when I finished that book, I was already, because the subtitle of that book, Love in a Time of Broken Heart, Healing from Within, I was already starting to gestate ideas for this book, which was about healing. But then life intervened and I didn't finish it. And then when I came back to it, I found that I'm different. My writing has changed a bit. The central ideas are still there. But as you probably know, of course, with your wonderful podcast, we are in a time of unprecedented spiritual awakening, I think, for humanity. And more people are waking up to the spiritual aspect of life. And I feel that healing, emotional healing, has to move beyond psychology if it is to be effective. And this is why, really, this book speaks about, you know, incorporating meditation, walks in nature, dreams, because, of course, I'm very much a dream, as a Jungian, being a dream analyst or a dream interpreter as part of the therapeutic process. So I can't remember what you asked me now.
I was asking about the experience of heartbreak, yes, which can be triggered, of course, by the breakdown of a relationship, but it can also be experienced by bereavement.
That's right.
Disappointment in life. I mean, heartbreak, you know, we break our hearts over many things, but I guess the breakdown of an intimate relationship is one of the toughest, but equally tough is bereavement. Right. So for me, it's the same shock, just a different way. And what you're saying is that it is an opportunity, as tough as it is, to go within and to grow and to become something more from it. But if someone who's listening at the moment who's going through that pain, and it's excruciating because emotional pain is just as hard as physical pain, is there anything you could say right now, apart from read my book, because that will help, but is there something that you could say that you could give them a hope?
Yes, I think what I'd like to say is that I don't know whether you know the words of some of the poets, but Rilke, you know, he talks about how think that life has not life is holding you in the palm of its hand, if you know what I mean. In other words, know that you're going through a process, and when one door closes, another one always opens, eventually. But that it usually, and the other thing I would say is there is a greater plan at work in our lives. And if we can kind of know that, and that we are being looked after, I feel that. And that, hard and all as it is, if you can just be with it and do stuff that, you know, that feels good for you, like being in nature or, you know, nurturing yourself as much as possible, and have a book that's your journey. So you can either write in it, like a journal and or put in your dreams. You are also living yourself, and it's a process that will have results. I feel it's important to say, and I know it's hard.
It is. I mean, we think we want to be happy all the time, isn't it? But that's not actually that good for us, is it? Because we stay in our comfort zone then, and then, you know, everything about our lives is found outside that comfort zone, isn't it? Anything that's, you know, going to pull us forward, help us evolve, become wiser versions of ourselves is found outside the comfort zone, isn't it?
It is, and it's also pushing us to experience our own, what I talk about in the book, The Dark Night of the Soul, which is a mystical experience as well as mm-hmm. a physical experience. And and usually, like, I looked back on that when I wrote Love in a Time, which actually, this is my, the one now is my fourth book, but the Love in a Time was my third book. But when I look back on that, and I wrote about it too, really life was pushing me to, you know, forward to end that particular relationship, or it ended. Maybe I didn't want it to end, but sometimes life brings that to you as an opportunity that something better is there. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I do. And if you're listening, as I say, and you are feeling hurt at the moment, I think what Benik is expressing here, if I'm correct, tell me if I'm wrong, is to maybe kind of that get excited because you're growing.
Yes.
Get excited because, you know, this means that something's shifting, dramatically shifting. And, you know, when you shed old skins, it hurts. But, you know, something else is emerging. So just hang in there. Mm. It will pass. That's what I'm kind of sensing. I'd like to go back as well, because you mentioned dreams. And thank you for that, because I guess I'm most well known these days for the dream work I do. And I love to speak to the Jungian perspective on dreaming. Would you mind just sharing that with listeners of White Shores?
You mean how we as Jungian...
How you would approach, yeah, as a Jungian psychotherapist, how you would approach it with your client? Would you encourage them to discuss their dreams with you?
Oh, absolutely. And I, in fact, asked them to get a book, a dream book, or a little journal to carry with them and to write them down as they can, as much as they can. Jung always said, basically, dreams are a compensatory mechanism for a conscious to bring about balance in your psyche. So, for example, if you have a particular idea in your life, your ego is sort of got an idea of something. So, for example, if you think, you come in and you keep telling me that you had a wonderful childhood and your mother was absolutely wonderful and the most nurturing person and everything like that. And then you have a dream in which your mother appears as a prostitute and a tramp, and you come in all upset to the therapy room and you tell me the dream. What might that mean? Well, what it means is that your psyche wants to bring about balance. It wants you to see, of course, your mother is not either a prostitute or a tramp, but it's to get you to see her in a more balanced way, that she was human with flaws. Because if you over-idealize, if you're over-idealizing, you could be blocking something in yourself, you see, from the idealization, whereas the dreams will bring about the truth as it actually is in your psyche. And so it helps you. It helps you to move on. It helps you to see any blocks and find a way out. You know, you can ask for a dream. Sorry, I'm going on a bit here, but you could, for your listeners who might want to know how to work with, I'm sure you know this, to work with your dreams, if you're stuck, you can ask for a dream before you go to sleep. Now, you might not always get what you want to get, but I know from 40 years of writing down my dreams that you will see a pattern. You will see life emerging there, and your own pattern and your own process coming through in your dreams, I think.
Oh, you're speaking to the converted here, because I too have kept a dream journal for decades, and it is like some kind of symbolic archetypal voiceover to your waking life, isn't it? That is, infinitely creative and brainstorms for you and tries to get rid of things and to heal things, to help you face things. Would you say that when we're dreaming about aspects of our own personalities? For example, like the mother figure in the dream, maybe your own ability to mother yourself.
Correct.
Represented symbolically.
Yes, we talk about the objective, and the subjective interpretation. So at one level, yes, it is about your mother, but it's also about how you've internalized her. And so therefore it could be about an aspect of you. And which way you go with the interpretation as a therapist, you usually go with where the energy is in the outer life, because you need the context. So I always ask my clients to write down the date and what was happening, that if I'm working with them, the first thing I do is ask, well, what is the emotional tone of the thing, of the dream? So what was the feeling? And then the second question is the context, you see. So go ahead.
Absolutely. And if you're listening, yet more reason, everyone, to write down those dreams. Please do them. Nothing's trivial. Just write them down, because they will bring rich rewards over time. But, you know, with dream work, it's patience. You need to get to know your dreams, don't you? And to see them as a series rather than independently as well. But I'm conscious of the time here, and I really want to talk about The Soul and the Sea, which, of course, is your latest title, published June the 1st, 2023, I believe.
Yeah,
not long, because we're recording this in May, everyone. It's pre-recorded. But in this, you are weaving your psychology, in-depth psychology, with spirituality, and you're presenting something fresh and original. And it's about connecting to nature, isn't it? And the importance of that. Again, looking at this, you know, from your previous books with childhood, with heartbreak, now you're moving into, let's say, the latter years of your life. I hope you don't mind me saying that you're drawn to nature. That's very interesting to me. Have you felt that in your life, as the years pass by, that you feel more and more in tune with the earth, with nature, with the sea?
I think so. And I think also I've been always involved with healing, with birth, with the feminine. And as I see it now, the sacred feminine that is coming back again. And I've been very interested in I've been studying, all the teachings of Jesus and Mary Magdalene and all that lineage of sacred feminine teachings and stuff that was repressed for a long, long time, as you know, with the way that the emergence of the patriarchy and all of that. So I feel that the connecting with nature, yes, it is to an extent, although I've always loved nature. I lived in London, UK. I lived in Dublin. No, I lived in cities even for a while, a little bit in the US. But nature is where my soul is. I can't find it in the city. Although there are, you can, of course, plenty of people live in cities and find their soul. But I think it's about the earth. I think that and what we're going through now, what the planet is going through, learning to heal. And the earth gives us everything we need. I'm very interested now at the moment in trying to grow herbs for healing, because I think that the earth produces everything we do need, but we've kind of not paid attention really in the past.
No, thank you. So it really is your connection to nature and the spirit and the life force, as it were, a practical application of Jungian psychology in everyday life as well. So you give tools and techniques in the book. So when people are reading it, they can get something practical. It's not just all theory.
Yeah, exactly. Because the second part of the book, I've divided it, takes the reader into the therapy room, based on my 30 plus years as a healing practitioner. So, there's three chapters where there are people that come in, fictitious people, and I talk about what we need to do and how I can help, and that it's not just coming to see me as their therapist, but they also have to take on spiritual tools and spiritual practices such as meditations, affirmations, you know, ritual, for example, ritual around loss and connection with nature. Yeah, so that I hope there are tools. I believe that people find the book very poetic, so they find that they get lost in it a little bit as a story. It's very easy to read, you see.
Good. I love that. I love that. So it's like having a session with you in a way as well, but you can also get some practical tools. Now, you've mentioned journaling, dream journaling. Is there another practical tool that you could suggest to listeners of White Shores?
Other than journaling and writing your dreams?
Yes.
Yes. I think, and I've come to this through my own life and my own growth, if you like, I think to have a spiritual practice, no matter how short, every day, whether it's 5 minutes sitting with a candle, you know, and taking your energies within or speaking to whatever goddess or spiritual entity you feel connected to. Even it couldn't be one of your ancestors. But a spiritual practice every day, I think, is extremely important. And it doesn't have to be long, but if you can do it with the discipline, it takes you in, you see, and away from the madness of the outside world, which is a distraction. Okay, we have to live in the outside world, but it's very easy to be distracted. And as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking about myself. I sometimes think, God, I forgot to do my meditation this morning. And
we're all like that. Our mind forever wanders, doesn't it? I mean, actually, it's constantly doing that. There's some recent research about mind wandering, which is fascinating, that it does it about 50% of the time.
Yes.
You know, and you have to consciously focus. But they're actually saying that it's actually quite positive that the mind wanders like that, because like in a dream, it's making connections without you realizing it. So it's not something always to beat yourself up about.
No.
It's actually something. And the more creative you are, the more you're going to find that happening. And I'm sure with someone like you, it would happen a lot. So also, you mentioned a daily spiritual practice. Of course, listening to this episode of White Shores People is your spiritual daily practice.
Yes, that's so true. Yes.
Get your White Shores a day. That's all you need, you know, a daily spiritual practice. Make it this spiritual podcast. But Vinny, where's the best place for people to connect to you, order this book, find out about you?
Well, I don't know whether your readers or your listeners get any visual, but I mean, you've got, shall I give you my website? Is that it?
Yes, please. Yes. No, I put that in the show notes. I always put the website in the show notes so people can find out about you.
The best place to connect with me is on my website, benikmoje.com, which is my name.com. And that brings you to Soul Connections, which is my website that I've had for a long time. To order the book, it can already be pre-ordered. It is already being pre-ordered on Amazon and the publishers themselves. So if you go on my website, you'll get links to all of that, to all of those.
Fantastic. And tell us about your website. When people go to your universe, what do they find there?
Well, I have to admit that I'm not great at technology, and I find it not all modern and everything. But I have meditations there that can be downloaded.
Awesome.
I have a lot of past audio versions of webinars that I've done over the years. I also have the first three books. Well, two of them now are on Kindle, and I don't have hard copies. You know, there aren't a lot of hard copies available, but one of them you can connect with all of my books and either write to me and
People can email you there, so you can actually, if they've, you know, been touched by something you said or your book or want to find out more, they can message you.
They can message me on the website. Absolutely, yes. And
very generous indeed. Yeah. It's been an absolute delight, uplifting delight, speaking to you today. Wishing you every success with the soul and the sea and all that you do. I've been inspired by it, and I know my listeners will have been too. Can't let you go without my Lord of the Rings question, being White Shores. If you could be a character in Lord of the Rings, who would it be and why?
Yeah, but you see, that's a hard question because I don't know it very well.
Do you know so many people are saying that to me now? But let's think, is there, because I think movies and works of fiction sometimes can really embody spiritual truths. I'm a huge fan of Lord of the Rings, so I think there's so much spiritual wisdom, life wisdom in there. And it's a way to reach millions in a way sometimes that the traditional, you know, approach of saying it like it is often isn't. So is there a particular movie character or character in fiction that you could recommend that people go and read? Just a recommendation of something spiritually uplifting in the world of movie, TV, because so many people now watch TV and movies, it's actually getting rarer and rarer sometimes to read a book.
Well, there's one that your listeners might have heard of. It was kind of for children, but it's very, very interesting, called Inside Out. And
Disney, isn't it Disney? Yes, about the emotions. That was brilliant.
Yes. And it's about a young girl. And of course, I'm informed by my granddaughter, who's just turned 7, and she regularly updates me on what's the thing now, you know. But all the Disney, the new stories coming out, particularly about girls, are about empowerment, you know. And
well, Frozen as well, you know. Frozen. That really led, yeah, amazing. You are on my wavelength. I actually recommend some Disney movies in my book, you know, some animated ones, because they are just so in tune with this spiritual message. And I know a lot of the scientists and creators and directors are really in touch with the spiritual as well. I happen to know that because some of the scientists, for example, behind some of the scenes in the movie Soul, Disney Soul, I don't know if you've seen that, I've actually interviewed on White Shores. They're very in touch with spiritual growth, spiritual awakening, and the importance of the spiritual element in life. So thank you for that recommendation, Inside Out. But of course, I do urge you to check out The Soul and the Sea and everything this wonderful lady says, writes, and does. Thank you from my heart for spending time with us today.
And thank you also, Teresa. I'm very happy to do so. And I wish you and your readers, our listeners, all the best from Ireland.
Thank you from my heart and soul for being here and walking beside me in spirit on White Shores. Sensitive, kind, compassionate souls like you who see beyond the material are needed more than ever today to help this earth heal and evolve. If you have any questions, stories, or insights to share, I absolutely love hearing from you and aim to reply to everyone in due course. My website is www.teresachung.com. My contact email is angeltalk710@aol.com. And you can message me via my Instagram handle, TheTeresaChung, as well as my Facebook and Twitter author pages. Until we meet again on these white shores, keep being amazing spiritual you, sending my eternal love and gratitude.